Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this time. And Lord, I know what you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you would move through your word. Bless it, Lord, now. I know you've promised that it will never return unto you void, but will accomplish everything you set it out to do. Lord, I pray I don't get in the way. Lord, I know we can boldly come before your throne because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Lord, I know how we're supposed to live in front of other people. Lord, we know all of these things. Lord, sometimes I need you to push me. And I thank you for doing that. In your name I pray. Amen. With this week, we look back in our lives, or we look at, you know, at things in our life that dates and times that changed your life. You know, November 18th, 1989 changed my life forever when Donis and I got married. And I can name the dates that my kids were born and the day that I accepted Christ, you know, and when I felt like he called me into the ministry. But we can also find those times in our life, those dates that you had that just changed everything. And we all have those. And your dates are different than my dates. And what happened on that date for you is something different than happened on maybe the dates for me. But this week, as I'm sitting in my office, probably, I think it was Monday. I came in Monday this past week. And God said, my first thought was, hey, 4th of July is coming, do a freedom sermon. And he was pretty quick. He told me no. And so it was one of those things that I got to thinking about the 4th of July and about how that, you know, that date in history changed our country. And it changed it for all of our country, but it didn't change it for people across the world. You know, Mexico has Cinco de Mayo, and different countries have different times that they were either liberated or their freedoms were given back to them or maybe they lost their freedoms, whatever. But all these countries, different countries have different times. But there are six points in history that are going to affect every single person, or should affect every single person. Let me put it that way. We're going to go through those tonight. And like I said, this is not, you know, every one of these points. And my thought was, I don't want to preach this because these are times that they all know about. These are times that they recognize in their lives. I recognize in my life these times. And when I thought that, this is my next thought. If you recognize these times in your life, are they changing every day of your life? Are they affecting every day of your life? And of course, the first one was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And we go on and we can keep reading into the creation that God spoke into existence. Now, there are people out there that they want to argue, and they want to argue for evolution, and they want to argue all these things about how God did this, and did he really speak it into existence? And they want to argue that. But the bottom line is, you and I both know that that is something that you cannot get around. They don't want to agree that God created everything. Because then that puts them underneath God, and they don't want that. But for you and I, we know there was that time in space that God started time for us. He created the heavens and the earth. We talk about this all the time, but just for a second, go back and let your mind try to wrap around the power to speak into existence everything that we see. And I'm always amazed, and especially when my kids were growing up, it seemed like Josh was injured all the time. And he would cut his hand, or he would slice his knee, or something would happen. And to put a piece of plastic over it, and it would heal back. Well, that's what cuts do. But I had a person send me a message, whatever, something on Facebook quite a while back, and it showed the smallest, I don't know if you wouldn't call it an organ, but the smallest thing in the human body, and I even forget what the name of it's called right now, but it's the shape of a cross. When they break down all the atoms in the body and they put it underneath the strongest microscope, it all is in the way it links together or looks like a bunch of little crosses. And just to see that God, in His infinite wisdom, when He spoke everything into existence, speaks the human body into a way to recover from a cut. The way He hung the stars in space and none of them collide, and yet He knows them all by name. This is our God that you and I walk every day. We get up every day and we acknowledge that He's God and we acknowledge He's our God. But how long has it been since you just literally been blown away in what God... There, what's that called, Stacy? Huh? Laminin. This is like one of the smallest parts of the human... It holds everything together in our body. That's our God. That's our God. Thank you, Stacy. That laminin... I don't know how you spell it, but anyway, it's to stop and think that the God that spoke existence, spoke into that darkness and that void, and He does that, and then when he creates man, it all centers around the cross. We think we've got it all figured out. We don't even know how powerful, how sovereign our God is. But every knee is going to bow to Him someday. And like I said, that's a point in time that all of us know about. We've read it, we've studied it, we've heard it preached, we've taught it to kids. But let's just pick a day out of last week, say last Thursday. How did the fact that the God of the universe that created everything, how did that affect your day? How did He affect your day? I probably went through that day praying to Him. I probably went through that day, you know, doing different things, studying about Him. But did I spend enough time with Him? In all that He's done, in all that He is, in that existence, we go to the second time. And that is when He loved us enough to send His Son. For God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son. We could stop right there and it goes on, but we quote that, people hold it up at ball games. Yeah, we know it. We know God loved His Son, loved us so much that He sent His Son. But go back to last Thursday. How did that love affect last Thursday for you? Did you stop and think, hey, I created everything, and in the midst of all of that, I love You. I love You. He loved us not just to say, well, hey, I love You. He loved us enough to send His Son. And we know that. Everybody here, I'm 1,000% sure that everybody here knows that. But what I wonder sometimes is when we walk through our day, do people see that? They see us. If you and your spouse hold hands or if you put your arm around your spouse, people walk up and they say, man, I hope when I'm that old, I love my spouse the way they do. Or I hope my spouse loves me the way they love their spouse. Do people see the way you love God? Do people hear about how God loves you? And I thought about that. And my thought is, when we talk to people, when we talk to kids or when we talk to people that we sit down and say, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you. That's what we're supposed to say, right? That's what we're supposed to tell them. But to express that God loves me in front of other people, that's hard to do. Because I can say God loves you, and God loves you, and you, and you. But to express, man, God loves even me. God loves me. He spoke everything into existence, and He loved me. You don't know me like I know me. And I don't know you like you know you. But God loves you. Does that change every day? Does that change the way you go into every day? Does that go into the way you treat people every day? Because God loves them that same way. The next point in time that's going to affect everybody, and this is in 1 Corinthians 15, says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And we know that way. We preach that. We teach that. That on that day that He conquered the grave, that changed everything for everybody. For all of us that have accepted Him, that gave us the opportunity when he ripped that curtain and made it possible for us to boldly go before the throne of God. Because of His grace, because of His mercy, His righteousness is bestowed upon us. That happened at the perfect time. But how does it affect last Thursday? Well, did I even think about that? Yeah, I'm grateful for it. Yeah, I may have told somebody about it, or I may have read about it. I may have prayed about it of a morning or at night. But how did it change the way I walked through the day? Is it just something I have in the back of my mind that it's my fire extinguisher, it's my get out of jail card? Or is it something that affects me every day of my life? Because too many times I think we just see these first three as things that have happened. And yes, amazing things, amazing points in time that change everything for us. We teach them, we share them, but do they affect every day of our life? Three of the most important times that have ever happened that are there for everybody. Then we go to the fourth time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." For those of us that have accepted Christ, what a day it's going to be when that eastern sky rips open. There's going to be a day. These other three have already happened. This one we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. So how did that affect last Thursday? Now the others have already happened, and so I live as if I know they've already happened. And so last Thursday, I have the opportunity to get up and see the sunrise, or to experience the things that God has created and acknowledge Him and give Him thanks, or I can understand and I can see the best my little mind can handle the fact that He loves me and He sent His Son to die on the cross and He extended that grace to me. And I know that's I've got the assurance that that's already happened and I can live that way. But this hasn't happened yet. But it is going to happen. Now, there are people out there that want to argue of how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and who it's going to affect. According to the Scripture right there, it's going to affect those who are in Him. Well, then it doesn't affect everybody, right? Yes, it does. Because if there's this person that doesn't know Christ, is that going to affect them when they wake up that morning and Christians are gone? Yeah, it's going to affect them. If I know this is going to happen in the future, I know that's the hope that we have that it says other people don't have, then how did that affect me last Thursday? Did I tell anybody? Did I talk to anybody? Did I celebrate the fact that I'm standing there staring at the clouds to the east thinking, man, I hope I'm looking when that happens. Did it change my actions, my attitudes, my thoughts last Thursday with the fact that my family member, or my friend, or my coworker, or even the person I don't know that's lost and dying and going to hell, did the fact that that day has not happened yet, but it's going to happen, change me? Because it should. The next point in time. Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it, from His presence earth and sky fled away, for no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them according to what they had done. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Man, that's pretty gloomy. But I'm a Christian, so that doesn't affect me. It should affect you. It should affect how you talk to people, how you witness to people, because that is going to be the great white throne judgment. That is going to be that time when anyone that rejects Christ is going to be held accountable because they stand condemned already, it tells us, because they have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. So how does that great white throne judgment affect me? My loved ones, your loved ones, those people that are lost and are dying are headed for that time. That point in time, that's where they're headed. The people I walked and talked with last Thursday are headed to that point in time. And how did I live that? Me knowing that that time is going to happen. When, I don't know when in the future it's going to happen. I know as far as how it's connected to the 1,000-year reign and things like that. But the bottom line is, I don't know the exact day it's going to happen. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's going to happen. How did that change me last Thursday? These are points in time that have to change us. Whether it is that creation, that thought of the love, that understanding of the death, burial, and resurrection for us because He loved us. The fact that one day He's coming again to take us, and He'll take us to heaven, and we'll be judged for what we've done with what He's given us. It won't be an eternity judgment, but it will be a reward judgment, and we'll be placed before Him. And then here, those people headed for this time, I'm letting them go without saying a word. Like I said, this is heavy. They will be judged because they rejected Jesus Christ. And that will be their choice. At some point, they will have that choice to accept or deny Jesus Christ. But I always wonder if a person loves me or respects me or has any kind of a relationship with me, would they be more apt to accept what I believe because they believe in me? And if I miss that opportunity to talk to them about Jesus Christ, and not miss it, if I ignore it, if I let it pass, I need to live with this very heavy on my heart. Now, I'm not going to be standing there that day. I'm not going to be going through that time. None of us as Christians will be. But God has placed us here on the face of this earth to seek and to save the lost and to continue His will that the Father sent Him. That's what we're supposed to do. That's a point in time that is coming, and it should change every day of our lives. It should affect every day of our lives. And then, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man.'" Man, what a day that's going to be. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. At some point, He is going to take, and I'm going to get to experience that new heaven and that new earth. So, knowing that that's ahead of you, knowing that that's a part of what's in your future, the little things that I face in my life right now, how do I let those things totally devastate me when I have the hope and the joy of spending eternity in that new heaven and new earth with God? That should affect every day. Yes, the things that we face are tough, and they are troubles in this life, and it tells us these light and momentary troubles that we face are nothing compared to that day when we stand before Him. He's created that for us. We get to spend eternity with Him. If I'm going through these troubles and these times, if I can just think of that every day, that mansion He's created for us, that time that is no more, it's just being with Him, that needs to affect every single day of my life. Too many times we want to wait and we say, well, going through tough times, just think of what's ahead. Don't worry about those light and momentary troubles. Just think about what's ahead. And that's a positive thing to say. But why shouldn't we think about that all the time? Why shouldn't we just focus on the fact that all of these things that He's set up, all of these points in time that should affect every Thursday of my life, but they all hinge on one thing. Yeah, they happened. The first three have happened. You know, the last three are going to happen. But how you and I treat these six things in our life, these six points in time, hinge on one other time. It's different for everybody. Mine was on an April 7th setting up in the choir loft. That was my point in time. Whenever you accepted Christ, that was your point in time. The points in time that are so important, people want to blow off creation. You can't do that. He's God. They want to ignore the love. They want to ignore the resurrection. You can't do that. They want to say, I don't know when those other things are going to happen. I don't know when they're going to happen either, but I know they are. And what should cause each of those six things to change every day of my life or affect every day of my life is that point in time when God said, okay, Steve, on April 7th, that's when I want you. That's when I'm going to start working on you. That's when I'm going to you're going to understand for once and for all, you're going to understand that I did those things because I wanted a relationship with you. My prayer is, and this is what God's dealing with me, too many times, and this goes for this message and maybe even this morning's as well, too many times we have the things in the Bible that we know are real, we know are right, we know they're going to happen, we know they are a promise from God, and we set them out in the future, or we set them back in the past. But how do they change every day? Because I'm not promised tomorrow. So what did I do with these things today? I can talk about the past. I can talk about what God's done for me in the past. But what's He doing right now that people can see right now? That's what He wants for me. I know that's what He wants for me. And I'm sure that's what He wants for you too. To have that relationship, to have the things that He has set in order to change your everyday life. It's a daily relationship with Jesus. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. He didn't say, just follow me every now and then. He didn't say, just take the promises that I've given you, take the things that I've already done, and just sit back and ride on them. No, He said, let those things change you. Let those things affect every day of your life. Live your life before other people. Because if they don't see me living my relationship with God, if they don't see how I relate to the God of this universe, then why would they want to relate to Him? If they don't see how the love of God affects my life on a daily basis, then why would they want it? If they don't see my faith and understanding what Jesus Christ did on the cross, how that changes me, that I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. If they don't see me living that, explaining that, talking that, making that known to people, then why are they going to understand? How are they ever going to come to know it? If I never talk about, and a lot of people don't, talk about the rapture, talk about the judgment seat of Christ, the white throne judgment, that new heaven and new earth coming down, if we don't ever talk about that, then how are they ever going to get excited? How are they ever going to worry? How are they ever going to be put on the point to say, are you going to be ready if I don't let these things affect me every single day? To live my life for Jesus Christ. Yes, we are to live in front of other Christians and to encourage each other and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are supposed to live and draw from each other. But He left me here after I accepted Christ that I might make a difference in a lost and dying world. And that's why He left you here too. That you might live out these six points in time. Three of them haven't happened, three of them have, but they should all six change every day of my life. They should affect me every single day. And if I think about them, if I just took and wrote out a list with these six times, and I just had that list, and I had it on my phone, or I carried it around, or I put it on my refrigerator, and I went to a point of saying, okay, did the fact that God is the creator of this universe change my day? yeah, I was able to talk to somebody. Check that off. And that's not why we do it. But if we get to the point of keeping it in the forefront of our mind, when they gave the Shema in Deuteronomy to the family, they would tell them that, you know, put it on your forehead. Put it on your doorpost. Put it everywhere so that the Word of God, the law, is there in front of you. The more we can keep it in the forefront of our mind, the more chances are that it's going to be seen by other people, because the more I think about it, the more it's going to affect every step I take. And the more it affects every step I take, the more it affects every step that the person beside me takes and the person behind me that's watching me takes. We need to make sure that these 6 points in time affect every single day of our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all that you do. I thank you for these points in time that you have set in place. Lord, may I never take them for granted. May I live my life glorifying and honoring you. In your name I pray. Amen.